Chavers of Schus always to be together. Very special night, a very special time to be together. Not just Erev Shabbos Kodesh, but the final Erev Shabbos Kodesh before the Heilige Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer, Baleinu L'Toiva. You know, when you talk about any Yom Tov, any special day, Heilige Yom Tov, Heilige Yom, so it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to prepare. To prepare b'machshava, to prepare b'ruchnias, in order to be able to gain all we can from that time. So we know there are even halachos of shalashim yom koidim l'chag. To prepare and to be able to not just walk into the day and walk out the same person, chas v'shalom. So much more so by Lag BaOmer. I think maybe more than any other day during the year, it's important to do hachana. Because of the nature of the day, to some being so nister, to some, it is here Lag BaOmer, they don't understand what we're doing, why we're dancing, what it's all about, why we're celebrating a yahrzeit, why we're celebrating Rav Shimon, more so than other Tanoim. What's with the fires, what's with the upsharins? And tonight we're not gonna explain the essence of the Yontif per se, although through the Torah we will on some level. If anyone wants to just understand Pashtus in the Yontif, so you know what you're celebrating, just to know what you're celebrating, it's Shaykh. I gave on Why Torah already, I think it was a couple of years ago, just a sheer short, I think, I don't know, I have no idea how long it is actually, why did I say short? I don't know how long it is, but shorter than the regular sheer here. Just understanding the Heilige Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer, I think it's titled. Something like that. It's Shaykh to listen to. Maybe we'll send it out on the new WhatsApp. We gave in. If anyone's not on the WhatsApp, please let me know. We'll add you. Because from this point on, not from this point, next week or two, we're still going to spread it a little bit with the text and the email, but very soon we're moving over to only WhatsApp. And there are some chesronos in that, but I believe there's more milos in it for our door and for what we're doing. I'm not going to get into it right now. I have to share if everyone wants to hear it. Right. But if Lag BaOmer is this day, this Nister Yontif on some level, so much more so we have to prepare. So that we could go in and mamish gain from all the simcha and all the ruchnis, all the shefa, and walk out a different person. You know, there's a very famous story on Lag BaOmer, a true story, it's incredible. I'm sure you all heard it. But sometimes stories are worth repeating. After all, don't we repeat the stories of the Torah year in and year out? Rabbanu Shalom wants us every single year to repeat the stories of Bereshis, the story of the Mabul, the story of the Shiftei Ka, the story of Yitzchak Mitzrayim. Tells us there's something to repeating stories, reviewing stories. Sometimes you have different amkus and different chizuk from the story. So it's mamish a true story. You can't imagine it's a true story because it's Nisim Gluyim, but Nisim Gluyim. This morning I saw Nisim Gluyim. This morning, I'm not going to get into all the details now, I also have to share if whoever wants, but I was called by one of my Talmidim right after davening, Rebbe, you should come out, please. Baruch Hashem, everything's okay, everyone's okay, but there was a bad accident with some of the Talmidim. Mamish the Corner Peninsula and Edward. And I got there, I went right away, Mamish ran over. I see, and Mamish, I'll show you pictures of it, I see a car flipped on its side. No, mamish, straight up, like this. A car flipped on its side against a tree, but straight up. Straight up, mamish, straight up, and the other car into a tree. And Baruch Hashem, not a scratch. Nobody, like, mamish, like, 100% okay. Nisim Gluyim. Rabbanu Shalom runs the world. Rabbanu Shalom runs the Welt. Whatever he wants to happen, could happen. But anyways, so 1923. 1923 in Meron, so the Olam, the Yidden were celebrating Lag BaOmer. That year Lag BaOmer was Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Thursday night, Friday. And many Yidden were there, dancing and davening. And most of the Yidden, when it was like that, they stayed for Shabbos Kodesh as well. And they had a beautiful Shabbos. And there was a mother who brought her son to have his upsharon. As we know, it's the minhag, to have his chalaka, to have his upsharon. And he had his upsharon as well, Simcha on Lag BaOmer on Thursday. On Friday, I'm sorry, on Erev Shabbos. But then he started to get very sick. He caught something, some very bad disease. And Mamish, all the simcha of Lag BaOmer, from everybody who was there, Mamish went faded as this little 3-year-old boy was nifter. This 3-year-old boy passed away. And Mamish, you could hear the wailing, the tears of the mother throughout the entire Meron. And Mamish, it was devastating. This is 1923, the British mandate were in charge. And the disease the child has, they were afraid it was some contagious. And they literally locked the gates of the kever so that whatever, because the baby and the mother were inside there and they wanted to separate whoever was outside, it shouldn't spread. And Mamish was like pandemonium, it was Mamish commotion like crazy because there were children separated from their parents. And you hear the wailing of the mother. And people are davening. And the mother carries this 3-year-old, this dead child, into the kever. And she mamish walks, and there's a Kriyas Yamsa, everyone lets her go, obviously. And she walks straight up to the kever, and she puts the baby down, the child, the 3-year-old, not even baby, a toddler, down on the ground right next to the kever. And she starts davening and davening, screaming and crying, and mamish screaming at Reb Shimon. And says, Reb Shimon, I brought my son to be masameach, to have an upsharin, on your day, you can't let this happen, this can't be. You have to do something, bring Tchias HaMesim. Mamish telling. He says, I'm going, you do Tchias HaMesim. And she leaves the baby on the floor. And everybody follows her out. Kacha, there were many people, there were 100 people that were there. This is 1923. It's people, and they told it door after door. Mamish, Emes, take a story. And they all go out, and no one's in with the kever. And a few minutes later, they hear crying from inside the kever, a little baby, a little child, 3-year-old. Mommy, mommy, I'm thirsty. Can I have water? Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim. And we're not going to go to their own Lag BaOmer. Are you guys crazy? Why are we hacking over here? Are we going to go to this? Are we going to go to Bar Park? Go to Knus Square? Are we crazy that we're not getting on a flight to go to Meron? We got to go to Meron. Let's just do it. And I'll tell you guys, I'll tell you something before we... As words of Akdama, if Lag BaOmer could be a day of Tchias HaMesim B'Gashmi, if Vada could be a day of Tchias HaMesim B'Ruchni, those of us that need some chizik and tzairus to lift ourselves up in Ruchnius, where we feel certain areas of our life that are lacking, that are a little lax, that have atzlus, maybe my davening, my learning, my shmir shenayim, whatever it might be, if it's Tchias HaMesim B'Gashmi, the Vada could be Tchias HaMesim B'Ruchnius. How so? We're going to talk about tonight, Bez Hashem. You know, some of the chevra, I'm sure, sings even every Shabbos Kodesh, Vilal Shabbos, and definitely this time in the year, to be singing Shabbos Kodesh, the songs of Bar Yochai, and we're going to be singing all of us this week, Mirz Hashem. Mamash Bar Yochai. So we have over here, in the second stanza already, you guys all know the words, but I'll read it to you, Bar Yochai, Moishev Toiv Yashavta. Moishev, referring to Bar Yochai when he was in the Mara, when he was in the cave. We all know the story. Of course, the story is in Shabbos Daf Lama Gimel. You can't make this stuff up. Shabbos Lama Gimel Mevez is the whole story of Reb Shimon. Mamash, you can't make this stuff up. Incredible. So Reb Shimon, we know, had to run away. And the Caesar wanted to kill him, and he had to run in the cave. He's in the Mara for so many years, and we say Bar Yochai Moshev Tov Yashavta. Moshev Tov, it was a good dwelling place, a good place that you were, that Yashavta, that you dwelled, that you lived. Yom Nasta Yom Yishabarachta, the day that you fled, the day that you ran away. B'Ma'ara Surim Shamadata, in the cave that you were. Shom Kanisa Haidcha Vadarach. I know it's hard to not sing. We'll hold back because if we start singing, we're going to sing all night, then we won't get to shir. We sing after. Shom Kanisa Haidcha Vadarach. There you acquired your haid, your splendor, your glory, your beauty in that cave. But we have to understand. This cave was a dark cave. It was a cave where we know. At first, there was no food, there was no water at first. It was a cave where he had no gashmias, and a cave for all those years where he had no ruchnias. When I say no ruchnias, vade, we're sitting learning with Leonov, we all know. But what I mean by that is in a physical sense, meaning first of all, we all know he lived in the sand because he didn't want to wear out his one pair of clothing, his one set of clothing. So he wore it only for davening, and all day long he was in the sand, he had no clothing. The food, so he had some water, a stream of water, and he had charev, he had boxer. You know what boxer is? You guys remember when you were in like third grade or fourth grade or fifth grade and you had no idea what Lag BaOmer was. You didn't know, you had no idea. Sadly, too many still don't know what it is. And you had Lag BaOmer, Tu B'Shvat, the other day that nobody knows, whatever. So, and what do they give out to you in school to make you so excited in the Simcha? These hard rocks. It's brown, long rocks. We don't know what we're supposed to do with them. Nobody knows what you're supposed to do with them. You try, maybe you chew, and then the one guy who breaks his tooth and has to be rushed out to the dentist, nobody knows. That's what charev is. You know, the Rambam says in Hilchos Deis, and he's going through the Rambam in Hilchos Deis, in Perek Dalet, Yud Aleph, and he's going through different things you're supposed to eat and you shouldn't eat. V'chein ha-charuvim royim lo'olam. Charuvim, the charuv, that's what Rav Shimon, you think, wow, he had this charuv tree. Ooh, miraculous charuv tree. The Rambam says, royim lo'olam. It's like horrible. Bad lo'olam forever to the whole world. That's all he had. That's what he ate. Charuv. He, begashmi, he had nothing. Beruchnius, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. What is he? He has no Sefer Torah. He has no show from Rosh Hashanah. He has no lulav and esrog. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai has no. He has no chavraya to give over Torah to. His talmidim that we spoke about last week. How important, how excited he was to get back to his talmidim. He has no kiddush for Avdallah. For kiddush, Avdallah. We spoke about Avdallah. What Avdallah is by Tzuz Mashiach. He had no matzahs. So he had none. Beruchnius, he had nothing. Begashmius has nothing. Yet in the piyut of Bar Yochai, we say, Bar Yochai, Moishev Tov Yeshavta. And remember, the word Tov is not like just good. It's like, okay, when you look in the Torah, Tov is like awesome. Tov is the best. There's no other word but Tov. It's not like, you know, in modern day Hebrew, we have Mitzuyan. You're not going to find Mitzuyan in the Torah, you know? Tov is like awesome. Tov is great. The Arki Tov. So Moshev Tov Yishavta. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Awesome. That was an awesome dwelling place. Your cave, which had nothing but Gashmias and nothing but Ruchnias. What are we saying? Moshev Tov Yishavta. You ready for Big Tyrus? So I saw from the Tolna Rebbe, Shlita, Mamish, the Tolna Rebbe has a beautiful sefer. If you want a beautiful sefer, Betzina Deraisa, on these days, on Sfiris Omer, and Lag BaOmer, and Shavuos. And he has a heliga piece. And he quotes in there, he talks about a very famous Gemara in Baba Basra and Cheskes Abatim. Of course the Gemara is on Daf Lama Gimel Mabez. Mamish, you can't make it up. And this is one of the Gemaras that Mamish is famous and has a shame. You know, like Tuk for Kayin. So people know the Gemara if you learn Cheskas Abatim, if you even haven't learned it. You know the Sugya of Naschi D'Rabbi Abba. It's very famous. Known as the Sugya of Naschi D'Rabbi Abba. What's the Sugya of Naschi D'Rabbi Abba? Naschi D'Rabbi Abba. Naschi D'Rabbi Abba is the silver piece of Rav Abba. What's Naschi D'Rabbi Abba, the silver piece of Rav Abba? So just, I'll read you the Gemara quickly, the story, just a few lines. Du gavre de chotav Naschi mechavre. So what happened? There was a person who snatched, who took a Naschi, took this silver piece from somebody else, from his friend. Asalak meid Rav Ami, have a yasiv Rav Abba kameh. So one guy came and brought a witness. He said, you know, to Rav Abba, he brought one witness, not two, just one, and said, this guy snatched that nascha from me. Amar lay in.
What did the other guy say? Yes, I did. Chatvi. However, vididi chatvi. I snatched it, but I was just grabbing back what was mine. Amar of Ami. Heichen edinu ha'daini l'haidina. So Rav Ami was there, right? We said Rav Ami and Rav Abba were there. Rav Ami says, how are we going to judge this case? Lishalim leka treisadi lepatri. Well, I'm saying, lishalim leka treisadi. To make him pay it back, the other guy doesn't have two witnesses. He only has one witness. Lepatri, to say he doesn't have to give it back. Ika chad sadi. Lishtava. So usually, he has one witness. So you can't say it's nothing. Why should he keep it? Let him lishtov and let him swear. Ha'amar michtav chatva, kevin amar chatva, havelik a gazlan. You can't make him swear because he admitted that he snatched it, so he looks like a gazlan, and a gazlan doesn't swear. So basically, we have nothing, we don't know what to do. We can't make him pay back because there's no two witnesses. To keep it, not fair because you have one witness against him. And to swear, it's not enough. It's not because he called himself, he said he took it. So amar vava. He's really supposed to swear, but he can't swear. Whenever you're supposed to swear and you can't swear, you have to pay up. Now, we're not going to get into the lumdus of the sugya. It's a very famous sugya in Shas. But this whole story that I just read, with these two parties arguing about this silver piece, this nascha, is called and world-renowned throughout all of history, nascha de Rav Abba. And the question is, why is it called nascha de Rav Abba? Nascha de Rav Abba, what do those words mean? If you didn't know the sugya, just Nascha de Rav Abba means the silver piece of Rav Abba. Nascha de Rav Abba, the silver piece of Rav Abba. It's not Rav Abba's silver piece. It should be Nascha de Donmei Rav Abba. The silver piece that was what? The silver bar, the silver piece that was judged by Rav Abba. Why is it called Nascha de Rav Abba? It's if it's his silver. If it's his, it's not his. Why is it called Nascha de Rav Abba? So Tolna Rebbe brought down from Rabbi Yeshua Mikotna. And Rabbi Yeshua Mikotna had it also. He was a big tzaddik. And he had two people also come in front of him. He was being to judge a case. And they're both screaming and yelling. Two parties are screaming and yelling to Yeshua that a piece of land was theirs. And this guy says, it's mine, and he starts screaming, yelling, and this guy's screaming, yelling, it's his. Mash, full of passion, full of emotion, at each other's throats, arguing with Rabbi Shua that it's their land, that he should judge whose piece of land it is. So what does Rabbi Shua do? Rabbi Shua takes his ear, and puts it, Mamish, down. He goes down to the ground, and listens by the ground. Listens by the ground. And he's putting his ear to the ground for like a few minutes. And the two parties, the two litigants, are looking at him like, what's going on? And we came to this tzaddik gadol to judge the case, and he's laying on the ground. So they say, Rebbe, what's going on? What are you doing? He says, well, you guys are arguing over this land. I figured I'm gonna listen to the land. The land will tell me whose it really is. Let me ask the land, whose is it? So I put my ear down on the land. And when I put my ear down in the land, you know what the land said? You know what the Arutz said? It says, both of you guys are shaykh to me. You came for me, you're going to end up in me. You both are shaykh to me. You're both mine. You're both mine. Forget about me being yours. You're both mine. You know what Rabbi Shua Katna was telling these people? Look at the two of you. Again, obviously you could have a dispute and discussion, but you're getting so emotional and so passionate about Gashmias. You're getting so emotional and passionate, this is where your heart is, about some land, some money. You're both going to end up in there. This is not where our focus should be. Your focus shouldn't be on Gashmias. Your focus is in the wrong place. Your priorities are in the wrong place. Stop being so emotional and prioritizing your life on the physical, materialistic areas of life. Okay, we'll judge the case. That's secondary. First, relax, man. This is not what it's about. So too, you want to hear what the Talmud Rebbe says, why we call Nascha de Rav Abba? Naschu de Rav Abba. Rav Abba has a case that he's judging these two litigants arguing about the silver bar. You and I, today, we learn Gemara B'blas for Cheskat Abatim, and we learn through Sugya Naschu de Rav Abba, and thousands and thousands and thousands of Yidden throughout history have learned this Sugya and are holding and know the Gemara and know Naschu de Rav Abba. Talmud Rebbe says, does anyone know the names? Does anyone know who the people were that were arguing over the Nascha? You know, does anyone know? Anyone know who the guy who snatched the Nascha? Who the guy said he snatched it from me? It's pashtus, nobody cares. Not only do we not know, we don't care. But the Torah that came out of it, the Chochmah Elokis that is built in a shtick Gemara, the godliness in a daf of Gemara, it's lenetzach. It's our life. It's our kirvas elokim. It's giving us purpose. It's giving us connection to the Rabbanu from every daf, every word of Gemara. So you know what? Those people that were arguing and their families and that money, that's meaningless to us. You know what's important to us? What's important to us is Psak of Rav Abba in the case. So that Nascha became Nascha de Rav Abba. He took ownership over it. Because that's the priority of the entire case. It's the Torah of it. It's the Ruchnius of it. In life, so often, sadly, it's not that we... Listen closely. I want to say this well. Vada, everybody needs to earn a parnasa and support a family. And support a family nicely so that you could send your kids to yeshiva and to camp. And to be able to, it's very expensive to be a Baal Yerush Shemayim. It's very expensive to be, to have Shabbos Kodesh, to have Yontiv, to have beautiful Lulav Esrog, whatever it might be. So you want it, you have a chiv, you have to earn a living, you have to support your wife, you have to live a nice lifestyle. But where's the focus? The focus has to be Torah, the focus has to be Ruchnius, the focus has to be Kedusha. And never lose sight of that as you're going through schooling and undergraduate school, maybe graduate school, and then you're working, or whatever it might be. Never lose focus where the ikr, what's the tuffle. When it becomes about the land, and you forget that's just the place you're going to be 6 feet under one day. And it becomes about the nascha, you're missing the boat. You're not missing the boat. Focus has to be Ruchnius. We might just be involved in Gashmius because we need to, which is important. You know, when I think about this, there was a band. I don't know if the Chevra is classic rock. I don't know how much of the band the Chevra ever learned, but it's a line I like to quote. I've quoted it before in Shir. I miss this. The first person that brought this out to me. The understanding of the godless of the song and some of the lines of the song was my Rebbe Rav Lachman. It's more from his days. It's the band Pink Floyd. I'm under the understanding some of the members might even not be so much loving of our people, but whatever, we're not going to go there now. I'm not telling anyone they have to listen to this or should listen to this. But there's a line in the song, "Wish You Were Here." Wish You Were Here. It's a very emotional song. Very deep song. And in that song, there's a line. You trade a walk-on role in the war for a lead role in a cage. You trade a walk-on role in the war for a lead role in a cage. Have you hear it? You hear? What happened? We each and every one of us has a walk-on role in the war. What does that mean, a walk-on role in the war? Mechamta shel Torah. The Melchama against the Yetzer Hara. We have a life that's not so easy always to be an Eved Hashem, be a Baal Yerushalayim. In the generation that we live in with the technology and a smartphone, it's a war. It's a daily war. It's a daily war in the culture that we live in, the society we live in, the communities we live in. It's a daily war. And it feels like a walk-on role in the war. Because sometimes we feel that we don't even have the most prestigious place in the war. We're just another member of Klal Yisrael. Try and. I just want to make it work. I just want to be able to be a simple Ben Torah, a simple Eved Hashem. How many people take that walk-on role in the war and say, forget about that. I'd rather lead a lead role in a cage.
I have a beautiful car. Mom is driving around in my beautiful car. I have a beautiful house. I got my vacation apartment in Miami. Avad, I also have my apartment in Yishlayim, you know. Avad, that also, don't be wrong. And my ikker becomes my gashmias. My ikker becomes my money, my materialism. God forbid. And I'm working crazy hours, even though I'm already making enough money to support six generations. But I'm still working crazy hours. So forget about learning. Who has time to learn? I don't have time to learn. So you trade a walk-on role in the war for a lead role in a cage. You're a slave to your desires. You're a slave to gashmias. It's a lead role, but I'm in a cage. Because society tells me this is important. And it feels good in the world that I live in and the people that I'm associated with. Shem Yirachim. And we lose sight of what's ikr, what's tafel. Chavetz Chaim said an incredible mashal. I shared this in a women's show recently. Chavetz Chaim said, imagine the following mashal. He says there was a king, a melech. And the melech heard of this incredible artist. And he wanted to commission this artist to make him this unbelievable crown like nobody else ever had. And he takes two avadim, two slaves, and he sends him to this artist with... He sends bags full of gems and diamonds. The artist doesn't have to put and use it to make a crown. And they go, and he's about a week's journey away, and they go to him, and they have to stay there a week while he makes a crown like we've never seen. And they're traveling, as they're traveling back, they pass by a farm. They decide they can have a little bit of fun with the farmer. A little bit of fun with the farmer. So what do? They go to the farmer. You know, we have this crown over here. Could we trade this crown for your yoke? Could we trade this crown for your yoke? His yoke on the back of his ox. The farmer has hardly anything to his name. His whole livelihood is his ox and his yoke and farming some produce for his own family. Sell a little bit. He looks at them. He says, are you a fool? I'm not trading you my yoke. My yoke's my entire livelihood. My yoke's my whole life. I would have nothing without this yoke. And they walk away just laughing and laughing and laughing. Because little did this farmer understand and know that that crown could have bought him thousands of yokes. Thousands. But he didn't understand it because his priorities were so warped that he was jaded by the world that he was living in. And how many Yidden are living these lead roles in cages, not understanding what they're giving up? Living that life of gashmias is the ikr. And maybe there is, not that there isn't ruchnias on the side, but where is the ikr? Where is the tafel? And when the ikr is gashmias, my ruchnias is meaningless. So now, let's go back to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Heli Atana, L'Kavad Atana, L'Kai. And we ask, what does it mean, Moshe Avshatov Yishavta? It was such an amazing place. You lived in this cave, this decrepit cave, having nothing but Gashmi, nothing but Ruchnias. So before we answer, we have the very famous Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lama Gimel, of course, Lama Gimel Beis. So when Shem Bar Yochai left the cave, left that Ma'ara, left that Moshe of Tov Yashavta, left that Makom that was so wonderful to be in, so who took him? Rav Pinchas ben Yair Chasnei. Rav Pinchas ben Yair took him. V'nadvik la'apei ayolei lebei banei. So he took him out, and he took him what? To the bathhouse. It's a good idea. Good idea to go to the bath after all these years in the cave. I mean, before he goes to the mikvah, obviously, because of the chatzitzos, right? Anyways, Lamais, he took him to the bath. And he was massaging his skin. He saw that he had holes on his skin. He was full of holes. He was full of holes because for years, all day, he was in the sand. And eventually, they made impressions in his skin. He had holes. His whole body was holes. Havi kabachi v'kanasri demas ene v'kamatzavchale. He was crying, tears are streaming down his face, and he screams out, Amarle, oili shirisisi b'kach. Woe is to me that I saw you like this. Pinchas ben Yair says to Shimon, woe is to me that I saw you like this.
And famously, these famous words, Amr Lay, Rav Shimon says back, Ashrecha shirisani bekach. Praiseworthy that you saw me like this. Shomali lo risini bekach. If you didn't see me like this, lo matzasi bekach. You would never find me like this. I would never have found all that I found. Meaning what? All that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai achieved in the Ma'ara, all that he achieved in the Ma'ara, he said, was because you see me like this. What does he mean? The Maral explains very famously, the Maral talks in Netzach Yisrael Zion. The Maral talks and explains that each and every one of us is a guf and a neshama. And Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and mitzvos is connected specifically to the neshama. And our guf is an impediment to that. And the more we're connected to our guf, the more we're connected to gashmis, the more we're connected to materialism and running after materialism, that's our ikar, the less we can connect to Torah. And forget about Torah's nister, not even Torah's nigla. If we're into our materialism, our physical life, we can't connect, your neshama is covered over by all that gashmis. So the Netzach Yisrael that Maral says. So that's what Rav Shimon was saying. Rav Shimon was saying, only because I was in a situation for so long, b'li gashmias, without any connection to physicality and materialism, I was zoicheh through that to the highest levels of ruchnias. They go hand in hand. You can't live in both worlds, is what Rav Shimon was telling us. And that's Meishav Toiv Yashavta. Yes, he didn't have a smartphone or internet, and he didn't even have a good steak from Doma in the cave. He had some charev. But you know what he had there? Therefore, because of abstaining and not having all the physicality and the gashmis, he was male ruchnis. And he felt it, and it was deep. And each and every one of us needs to understand, and as we enter into the Yant of Lag BaOmer, if we want to feel and connect to Torah, to Kedusha, to Tara, be Reb Shimon Bar Yochai de Kiyid, and Vada, if we want any drop, any tipa biyam of Torah's Nister, we have to work on having less chashivas and less of a priority on gashmis, less of a priority on the physical world, less of a priority on the food that we eat, on the clothing that we wear, on the car that we drive, on the time that we spend in the social media of the world, in a sense, which is also the world of gashmias and taiva, the time that we spend on our phones. Chas v'shalom. I'm not going to ask you, there's a yid in this room that would ever be in a base medrash with their phone in their pocket unless it was completely on airplane mode. Not on silent, an airplane mode are off because you have nowhere else to put it. Chas v'sholom. Because you think in the moment you're going to be learning with gashmis in your pocket like that. Shimon's saying, Ashrecha shesani l'kach. Because only because of that abstinence from it was able to achieve anything. I can't be pulled in different directions. You guys know, you guys are all in different Bate Midrashos. You walk about the base Midrash. How often you walk around, look around, and see guys sitting and learning. They learn, they check their phone, they learn, some of them learn with their phone next to them. You're there, you're not there. You think you're gonna get anywhere in Torah, anywhere in Kedusha, anywhere in a connection to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam through that Torah, when that's what you're trying to connect with. And there's nothing wrong with gashmis in our life, but it can't be any level of a priority. Right now, there's the chesnish, the hockey playoffs going on, the basketball playoffs going on. If it's a time when you need a mutter heter to take a break, whatever it is, and to watch a few minutes of highlights, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Some people need that, and it's okay, it's definitely a mutter outlet. But that it should be important to you today, that you should actually care, that I hear some of the younger kids like arguing about these things. Mamish passionately arguing about Ichves just the lottery, and this one got the first pick, and this one got the third pick, and what's going to be, and who's in a better place for the future for the next 26 years. If the Knicks are going to be in 16 years from now, they're going to be able to win a championship now because of the third pick. I mean, Shem Yerachim, this is like, it's one thing, but that it's important to you, that you're passionate about it. You think you can be passionate Torah if you're passionate about that? I don't mean not to enjoy it still at times. If it's a time when you can, I'm okay with that. I understand that it's part of who we are. And that's,
for another time to discuss at length, but that you should, that should be something an ikkar in your life. Anything gashmish should be an ikkar in your life. If that's going to be, then ruchnius won't be the ikkar. And we're not going to be able to be Rav Shimon bar Yochai d'Keir. The Heilig Zohar. Couldn't not talk from the Zohar tonight. The Heilig Zohar, which is the Yontif of Lag BaOmer. We have the Zohar because of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer was the day that Rav Shimon bar Yochai was nifter, and on Lag BaOmer he told the Chavrayas, Talmidim, to write down the Zohar. If he didn't do that, we never would have had the Zohar because it was all Torah Shebaal Peh. In Parshas Naso and Kuf Chav Dalet and Beis, we say over here about, based on the pasuk of today, this pasuk is discussed at length in the Tikkuni Zohar, explaining the whole background of the Zohar. Ba'maskilim yashiru kizohar akia, the pasuk talking about the tzaddikim who will shine like the shining of the heavens. Ba'haychay bura dilach diyusef azohar, in this chibur which is the Zohar. Min Zohara di Ima Ilah. It's shining from the Ima Ilah, which I'm not going to explain it all right now. If you're holding, you're holding. If you're not holding, don't worry. Tshuva. So he says, Bi Ilain Latsarech Nisayon. They hit a point that you can be so close to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and you're connected to Zohar and connected to Kedusha, you don't feel nisyonos in this world. You don't feel any galus in this world. Because you already are purified from the Zohar. The Zohar could purify you. However it began, that tid in Yisrael, but in the future, they're going to be Talmidei Chachamim, in the future, that in the future, Lemita Milane Dechai Yihai Sefer HaZohar, they're going to want to taste the Eitz Chaim of the Zohar, and they're going to need this Torah, and therefore, Yifkun Bei Mingalusa Barachme. Therefore, the Zohar came out for us. The Zohar came out, but listen to what he said. Yifkun Bei Mingalusa Barachme. Yifkun Bei Mingalusa Barachme. Meaning what? That the whole Zohar came from Gullus. That the whole Zohar came from Gullus, from steeped in difficulty and tzaras and Gullus. Meaning what? From the Gullus of the Mahara. From a place with no Gashmias and no Ruchnias. That's where the Zohar came from. That's where it started to shine, from the darkest of places. Meaning what? Because it's only when I take away all of my world of gashmias that I could get to the deepest of place, beruchnias. And each and every one of us has to understand this, and we have to believe this. That's what it means also, that we say what? Bar Yochai Nimshachta Ashrecha, Shemen Sason Mechaverecha. Some sort of shemen, what is this oil that seems like that's what got Sason Mechaverecha, that's why he was greater in Torah from shemen. The Rachayim HaKadosh, the beginning of Parshat Tesava, tells us, I'll read it inside, Mamash is tremendous, the Rachayim HaKadosh, Perek Chavzai, is it Chavzai? Chavches, where is it? Chavches, beginning, no, Chavzai, Chavzayin, Pasuk Chav. The Rachayim HaKadosh says, that he quotes the Zohar, that they're Dalet Galios, and the Gula of the first Gaul is in Chuz of Avram, the second Gaul is in Chuz of Yitzchak, the third Gaul is in Chuz of Yaakov, the fourth Gaul is the Gaul we're in, it's Chuz of Moshe, which is the Chuz of Torah. It's going to be our Amelus B'Torah that's going to pull us out of this Gaul. And he says that's the allusion to Shemen Zayas. The Yikhu Alecha Shemen Zayas Zach, they bring to Moshe, whose Torah, Shemen Zayas Zach, Kossis Lamar. What's Kossis? Shesrichin Lasuk B'Torah. Kossis means to break. To really connect to Torah, you have to break the physicality. You have to break down. And he quotes, as the famous Gemara in Brachos Amagimel, Zos Atardam Kimas Baal, Ein Divitarim Iskamel Mishamemetat Mola. You have to break yourself over it, meaning you have to break the gashmias of your life over it. We can't be living in both worlds. we're living in both worlds, we're not going to be living in the world of Ruchnias, the world of Torah, the world of Reb Shimon, the world of Lag BaOmer, the world of the deepest Torah of the Zohar. And not that I'm not saying that Chevron in this room should be learning Zohar right now. Not at all. But the tzchus that the Zohar is even a world is a tzchus for each and every one of us. The tzchus that we have towards Nista in the world. And if we want any possibility of getting, forget about, again, even to understand any level of Torah, to maybe one day be able to understand Taurus Nister. To first understand Taurus Nigla, Gemara, Shas, Paiskim, Mishnah Brura, Mesil Shisharim. If we're steeped in Gashmias, we can't do it. If we're still struggling strongly in our Shemir Sanayim, which is a struggle and it's real, but we're not working and at war with it, so that I could hit a point where it's at, and I put up every gezer in the world. Because if I'm still struggling in it and I'm trying to learn, I can't have it. It's an impediment. It's holding me back. It's not Moishev Tov Yashavt to be able to open up to worlds of Ruchnias and Torah and Hashem. And our Torah has to be a Torah of that amelus and that difficulty and getting rid of the Gashmis. In the Gemara and Shabbos, where's the Gemara and Shabbos here? The Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Mabez. Talks about a Tana Lakai, a Tana of Elazar ben Aruch. And it has a story here, a Pelish of a Pelish. Elazar ben Aruch, what's it say? Listen to this story. Amar of Chelbo. Reb Chelbo says, Chamra, I don't even know how to pronounce this place, but De Prugaisa, Umaya de Dumyum says, Kipchu Aseres Ashvatim Yisrael. There was some sort of incredible wine in the place of Prugaisa, and incredible waters to bathe in Jumeses. And that's why we lost the 10 tribes. They were so pulled into the gashmias of this wine and this water, they were lost forever into that gashmias. The Gemara goes on, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch ikla lahasam. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch went to visit there. And listen to what happened. Im sheikh basreu iyakir talmudeh. He was so pulled into the gashmias, he forgot all of his learning. Ki hadar asa. Come le mikre b'sifra. When he came back, he read in his Sefer Torah. Boy le mikre, he wanted to read Achodesh Elchem. He wanted to read Achodesh Elchem. Amra hechresh ayalibam. He couldn't even read the word Achodesh Elchem. He thought it said hechresh ayalibam. Boy rabban rachmeleitz. Rabban davened. He should be talking. V'hodir talmude, and then he was able to learn. His learning came back to him. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Who was Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch? You want to hear who Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was? You want to know who Rabbi? You all know because you learn. Everyone learns Pirkei Avos. Even if you didn't get to Kuf Mem Zayin of Shabbos, you learn Pirkei Avos. The second paragraph of Pirkei Avos talks about five Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yosei Akoyin, Rabbi Shimon ben Netano, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, and it goes through all their midos. I'm not going to read it all right now for the sake of time, but then it ends like this. Im yu kol chachme Yisrael b'kaf meznayim, ve'eliezer ben Horkinus b'kaf shniyam, achriyas kulam. So first of all, if you had all the tzaddikim in the world on one side, it would be balanced by Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinus, on a scale. Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinus was a talmid chacham on a level of all the other tzaddikim of the time. Abishol homer mishmo, im yu kol chachme Yisrael b'kaf meznayim, Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinus af bimohim. So you had all the tzaddikim in the world, and Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinus was equal to all the tzaddikim together on one side of the scale. Rabbi Elazar b'kaf shniya, machrias kulam. He would balance them. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch would balance them all out. You hear Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was? The next mishnah is a famous mishnah where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he tells all the talmidim, tell me what's the best midah to attach to. Chavir tov, shachin tov, and Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch says, Lev Tov. He says, Lev Tov. And he says, that's the best one. This is Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. The same Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch that fell to Gashmias in such a makom like that. Now, by the way, just a little bit of a background. The Derech Chaim, the Maral, and its Pirush and Pirkei Avos explains what's a Lev Tov. You know what a Lev Tov is? And don't ever forget this. A Lev Tov is not just giving to others and caring for others. A Lev Tov is giving to others and caring for others even when it hurts you. Even when you don't want to. Even when you're going to lose out from it. You know what a Lev Tov is? A Lev Tov is, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you're wiped out and tired and you want to go to sleep and you get a phone call from your friend who just got broken up, got dumped by some girl that he was going out with for chvesnish, I don't know, 8 dates, but he thought it was going great and he's destroyed and he mamish is upset and he wants to come over and talk and all you want to do is go to sleep. And you say, sure, come over. You don't want to really talk to him right now. You want to go to sleep. But you know he'll get chizik from it and need someone to talk to. That's a Lev Tov. Lev Tov is tomorrow when you'd want to go to the Beis Medrash and sit and learn for a couple of hours, Achan of Shabbos Kodesh, Achan of Lag Boimer, and your mother needs help in the house and you really don't want to. But you know what? It's not even a brainer. You have a Lev Tov. You're going to do it. You're going to do it in a minute. A Lev Tov means I put other people above myself. We always put other people above ourselves. I'm not going to be forced to a drop of what I'm talking about right now. But I dealt this week with a very, very difficult situation. Very difficult situation. I'm really, really, I'm still destroyed by it. I'm destroyed by it on many levels, that there was someone who could do what was done, what he did. And I'm destroyed by it because also there were Bali Eitza, respected individuals that gave Eitza even on some level to do what was done. Live in a world people don't put others above themselves. People can be so selfish. People don't care to hurt other people. Because it's better for me. You know, dating is not like, we don't date as a business transaction because I want to get married. Because I need to get married. You date because you want to care for someone and give to someone and build a deep relationship which will end in marriage. Not like, let me date till I get married. It doesn't matter what I do to people along the way. Shamir Achim. Lev Tov means I care about others, even if I'm going to hurt out from it. Even if I'm going to lose out from it a little bit. I put others above myself. We need to put others above ourselves. Always to put others above ourselves. I was such a destroyer that what I went through with one person. So Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, he taught to have a Lev Tov. He taught to put others above yourself. This wasn't my own. Now I don't remember where I saw that. I think it was in the Shulah Pinchas. It's a good guess with most of the Torah I say over. But I'm not for sure. He had such a Lev Tov. How could it be, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, who was keneged all the tzaddikim with Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, would go to a makom and be influenced by the gashmis? So fine, shkoyach, gashmis could influence anyone, but why would he even go there to begin with? What was he thinking? He had such a lev tov, he was willing to sacrifice his own ruchnias, so that there could be a Gemara and teach you and I what Gashmias could do to a person, what Taiva could do to a person. Because if it could do it to Rav Elazar ben Aruch, imagine what it could do to us. If a little good wine and some nice baths could make him forget all his learning, You know what it could do to us when we focus on gashmis, when we focus on our taivas, when we focus on money, and we focus on things we shouldn't be looking at and are involved in this world? Our Torah, our ruchnius, is dependent on being willing to abstain from gashmias. And that's Moshev Tov Yeshavta. That's the Hilik Reb Shimon. That's how you come to come to Kol HaZohar. That's how you come to being one with Hashem like a Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. That's a Yontav of Lag BaOmer. Moshev Tov Yeshavta. And over this next week as we prepare, we have to think to ourselves, where are our priorities? Where is our gashmias? And where is our ruchnias? And how are we living our lives? And by the way, when you have that, and you connect kula l'ruchni in the proper way, like we're discussing tonight, you'll see you don't need anything else. I'll share one last story that I shared recently also with a woman. But I've shared it for sure with the chevra here before. But this time of the year, Shavuos time, and like Vomer time, and I always think about this Torah. In Tillim we say, Darash Hashem lo yachzur chol tov. Darash Hashem lo yachzur chol tov. If you seek Hashem, you're lacking nothing. Moshev tov yashavta. You're lacking nothing? I had this chus many, many, many times to be in Rav Yashav Zeicher Tzadik Kadosh Baruch Hu's apartment. You walked into Rav Yashav's apartment, and there was a little waiting area. I'd say it was a third of the size of this room. To the right was a kitchen. I don't know if... I think two people could fit in the kitchen. Not a third. I don't think a third would be able to fit in the kitchen. In front of that was the bedroom with two beds and like a little dresser in the middle. Then there was a long hallway. The whole side of the hallway of Svarim. From top to bottom. I remember I was amazed he has an article Shas. And I saw just something that I once saw about Rav Yashav. You see, he gives us comments at Archkol Shas. I guess they sent it to him. I don't know if he could even was able to read English. I'm not sure, but it was on his shelf. Along with thousands of other svarim. And then in the back was a bigger size room. That room was probably the size of this room. And there was a bed, and that's a table in the middle where I'm sure you've all seen video of where he used to learn. In that room, many, many, many times, I davened Meir with him on the Shabbos. Incredible times. Times also with Rav Yashav. But that was his whole apartment. And you look around, he had no TV, he had no internet. I don't think he even had a phone. Table, chairs, bed, svarim. I don't think anything else. So what do you mean, lo yachzur chol tov? He had a golf cart. He had that also. He used to have a golf cart that would drive him from his home to the caravan where he daven. Later in his life, they put an elevator in because his apartment was up the steps. Zo! Once I was in the elevator with him, that was an amazing experience. I have a lot of stories about Rav Yashav. That's all. Time when I climbed through his window to get into the sukkah. That was incredible. Well worth it to be there with him in the sukkah. Because you couldn't get in anymore by the steps. It was stuck. The whole hallway to get up was like one person at a time, and it was so packed you couldn't get in anymore. It was closed off. So I went to steps on the next door. There were steps like to the next door apartment. And the top of the steps, there was a window that somehow from the hallway of the next door neighbor's steps went straight into Rav Yashav's sukkah. So I climbed through the window. I was in the sukkah with him. It was awesome. But what do you have? He had nothing. What do you mean, Dar Shashem? Okay, Dar Shashem. He had simcha, but lo yachzu chotov. What do you mean, lacking nothing? He was lacking a lot. So once saw a mashal from Rav Eliyahu Lapian, the Lev Eliyahu. Rav Eliyahu Lapian said there was once a man, and the man had some sort of disease, and as long as he took a medication every single day, he was fine. If he took the medication every day, he was fine. And one day but if he didn't, it was mamish life-threatening. One day he's in his friend's house, and he's in the bathroom, and he decides, people who aren't so well, they do things like this to want to get, like, he's snooping through the medicine cabinets. And he's looking around, and he notices that the guy, he doesn't have this medication. And he thinks, oh my God, I can't believe my friend doesn't have it. I feel so terrible for him.
And he comes out of the bathroom and he says, listen, I know I shouldn't have been looking, I'm so sorry, but I noticed you didn't have this medication. I'm going to run home and get some for you. I feel terrible, I'm sorry, I didn't know. The man looks at him, you fool. To you, this medicine is very chashuv and incredible because you need it. Because you're not so well. Baruch Hashem, I'm healthy, I don't need it. That's meaningless to me, that's nothing. People need nice cars, people need nice watches, people need entertainment in the internet and TV and movies and Netflix and Echveshness, because that's their medication. But those who are Darshu Hashem, lo yachzu chol tov, I don't need the medication. I got the good stuff. I have it all. Moshev tov yeshavta. So Moshev tov yeshavta, Imam works both ways. The less gashmius in my life, the more I'll connect to ruchnius. And the more I connect to ruchnius, the less gashmius I need. Bez Hashem Zvarach, each and every one of us should be zoiche to really feel the kedusha of Lag BaOmer and the life of Rav Shimon, and instill within our hearts what it means to live Moshev Tov Yeshavta, until we're zoiche to not just be celebrating Lag BaOmer, but mamish dancing with Rav Shimon himself in Yerushalayim or Kodesh, not even in Meiron, with Mashiach Zerkenu, with Gula Shleima, and Meher B'Yameinu.